Lord, just thank you for all everyone that's here, Lord, and mainly that you're here. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. You lead and guide us into all truth. Holy Spirit, you're a giver of life. So Lord, I pray that we just get in your word and read it. That you would make yourself real to us, make it simple for us. Lord, as things we've heard 1,000 times, Lord, it may be the next time we hear it, that, Lord, you just use it to free us. So be present with us, Lord. I just pray that you'd anoint me by your Holy Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. Okay. You have your Bibles with you, which you should, right? The Galatians. Chapter 5. If you don't have one, we have plenty of the little red ones. Alrighty. I'm just spending some time in here today. I really like how this chapter starts off, and that it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. And verse 13, you were called to freedom, brethren. Don't turn your freedom into opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. I really like how this starts off. That's what we're going to be talking about a little bit tonight, is just walking in the freedom that we have in Christ. He set us free for the purpose. It says for the purpose of freedom, to be free. And what we're going to be talking about tonight is something just very familiar to us, about just walking, learning about walking in the Spirit all over again. You know? And what I see mainly, what TC and I run into a lot with people you minister to, you can do all the inner healing, all the deliverance in the world, but if that person doesn't know how to walk in the Spirit, they're going to find themselves back in a yoke of slavery again. Because mainly what we deal with, 95% of what we deal with, is our flesh. And learning to recognize our flesh for what it is really helps in the freedom we have. Now, the enemy does use the flesh as his surfboard. That's what he rides in on, right? But if we can recognize the flesh and what we're dealing with, and it just really helps begin to walk in freedom. You know, if you can recognize, oh, this pull I have to go do that is just my flesh. It's this fallen humanity. It's not my spirit. It's not who I am in Christ. So we'll start in verse 16. And Paul says this, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, sets its desire against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. If you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And always remember those, if when you're led by the Spirit, that's how you can know if it's the Spirit of God leading you, because the Spirit of God's always going to lead you to freedom and liberty. Right? The flesh, or the enemy, is always going to lead you to a place of bondage. Okay? That's how we know if it's the Spirit, does it minister life to me? Okay? When I'm trying to discern things in the Spirit, whether it's angelic or demonic, if it's the Lord, if it's from the Holy Spirit or the origin, it's always going to lead to life and liberty and freedom inwardly. If it's the enemy speaking, it's just going to make me more entrapped. It's going to be like the tar baby, you know. If y'all remember those stories when they was beating the tar baby, the more you beat it, the more slimed he got. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, right? What we deal with. immorality. Okay? That word's also interchanged with the word fornication. Okay? Do I know what fornication is? I hope so. No. We got a winner back there. Fornication, of course, is sex outside the bond of marriage. Okay? This generation and culture needs to hear that it's sin. All right? It's immorality. That's what it's called. Okay? Fornication. Impurity. Impure thoughts. Anybody ever struggle with that? No hands, please. Impure thoughts, are from the flesh. Okay? So, majority of times when I'm having impure thoughts is, it's not this big demonic warfare I'm having. It's just my joking flesh. Okay? That's where it's coming from. Sensuality. Remember, we talked about that. In the flesh, it's always going to lead you to sensuality. Doing what feels good. My senses. That's what I want to do. I want to feel good all the time. And we talked about that people, when you deal with people who have addiction problems, the problem is they have to face an idol of always wanting to feel good all the time. Okay? So anybody that the Lord sets free from, many of us have struggled there too. So it's just a form of sensuality. It's a thing of the flesh. Okay? Wanting to feel good. Idolatry. Okay? Worshiping anything other than the Lord. Sorcery. Here's an interesting thing about that. Have you ever thought about this? Sorcery being a thing of the flesh. Being led to sorcery and witchcraft and fascination with those type of things is a fleshly thing. Right? So one has to be careful in certain books or movies that we watch. And I won't say Harry Potter, but you just have to be careful with that kind of stuff. And the reason is because we have a strong fleshly pull toward and a fascination toward that type of thing. And the enemy knows that. And it can be a real open door. I had to go pray for someone's house one time because if you do that, it's between you and the Lord, right? I'm not saying anything up here, okay? But I will say this. I had to go pray for this little girl one time because one of these characters in a HP book was visiting her. So I went in Jesus' name, took authority over it and cleansed it, and it didn't happen anymore. Okay? But if the Lord says you can read it, go ahead. I mean, I'm just saying, got to be careful with that. But this is the real deal. It was an open door to her. Her flesh to the sorcery just opened the doors. Okay? All right. Enmities, strifes, jealousy.
What's enmity?
Huh? Enmity is like I just read it today. Yeah, it's like a bitter hatred type type that. Yes. Sorcery, enmities. Strife with each other, jealousy, outbursts of anger. Okay? I think we've all had times of that, right? Disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing. Things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Or that word means shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Okay? That when we practice such things, we're not experiencing the kingdom of God, right? Kind of simple. Okay, here we go. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and this is all familiar to us, but these are the things that will begin to manifest itself as we're learning how to walk in the Spirit. And the first thing is love, right? God is love. So the fruit of the Spirit, love, begin to manifest. Joy in my life. peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have, past tense, crucified the flesh with its passions and desire. So, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Right? And I just think, and what I keep seeing the Lord doing, is I just keep getting the word again, foundation. You know? The Lord is trying to take us back to some real foundational truths about who we are in Christ, about learning how to walk in the Spirit, you know, learning how, like Galatians says in chapter 3, and he's talking to these Galatians, he said, who has bewitched you? If you begin by the Spirit, are you now trying to be perfected in the flesh? You know, go back to what you know. It's about the Holy Spirit. So those who belong to Christ Jesus, all these things I've read has been crucified in Christ Jesus. So part of living how, learning how to live by and walk by the Holy Spirit, that's one of the things, is realizing that even though at any time I may manifest one of these things that we went over and all the subtitles that go under that, is that I'm already dead to it. If I belong to Christ Jesus, I have crucified the flesh with its passions and desire. Then he goes on, if we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. And the original language here is walk by the power of the Spirit. Right? And what is the Holy Spirit's number one job? It's to make Jesus real to me. Okay, in a nutshell. The Holy Spirit's job is to make Jesus real to me. So as I'm learning how to walk by the power of the Spirit, part of that is, okay, when I get ministry or, man, I've been dealing with something this, man, in my relationship, I've just been struggling with these outbursts of anger. Man, I've just been blowing up and just, you know, in my relationships, I would say husband and wife, you know, that's usually, your wife or your husband usually sees the worst part of you anyway, right? We can fake it around everybody else. We just can't fake it all the time at home. So I've been dealing with this outburst of anger. I need to go see, you know, I need to go see Father Craig and TC and let them pray for me. Okay? Well, we might can pray for you, but one thing we can't do is cast out your flesh. You know? If we could do that, I would be a very wealthy man right now. Okay? So, what we have to do is, okay, we'll see if maybe where it's coming from. There may be something that's fueling it a little bit. We'll shut the door to that, you know? Or there may be something riding in there. Like I said, the enemy may be riding in on the surfboard. We have to deal with that. But ultimately, you have to come to the realization that it's been crucified with Christ and buried. And I'm telling you, there's something that will go on in your spirit like light. Ah, you mean I'm really dead to outbursts of anger? Yeah, you really are. It was crucified and buried. You're no longer under its power. So that's what it means to walk by the Spirit? Yeah, absolutely. Those who are led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And then what happens is, the fruit of the Spirit starts coming forth in my life. All of a sudden, I'm walking in love. I was talking to someone recently, and I'm really proud of this guy, and he just really hung in there through some really hard times in his marriage. And he said, you know, I just have this this overwhelming love in my heart for my wife, even though I shouldn't. I don't want to, you know, but I do. And what was happening is the fruit of the Spirit, fruit of the Holy Spirit of love is now coming forth in his life because he's made some choices to walk in the Spirit no matter how he felt. Okay? Cool deal. Now let's flip over to the book of Colossians. Be over to the right. Y'all know that. Colossians chapter 1. I always give the neighborhood, but I don't give the house number. We're in Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we've heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Right? We all want to do that. Please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with power, according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father. Okay? That word strengthened with power, that word power there comes from a Greek word, dunamis, which is dynamite. Right? And again, just like in the book of Ephesians, Paul's praying for them, saying that God would strengthen you with this dynamite power that you have within you to live the Christian life. And then what happens is you'll attain to all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father. So that part of walking in the Spirit is what we've got to learn how to tap into. That God has poured in us, which we know that, real simple stuff, this incredible dynamite power. Right? And y'all heard my testimony. Part of my testimony was not that the Lord saved me out of this rough lifestyle, which He did, was I lived as a Christian for so many years just powerless. And when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, then all of a sudden there was this power to live. Right? That's part of what it means to walk by the Spirit. Now let's jump over to chapter 2 and it goes just a little bit deeper over here. Right? Starting in verse 1. This is just some really good stuff here. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf for those who are at Laodicea and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ in Himself. In whom, I love this verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge and all the universe dwell in Him. You know, when I was just reading this today, because I was going about the Spirit, I just couldn't get over this verse. You know, I was thinking you, about me and you, you know, you're in Christ. That Christ who lives within you, all the wisdom and knowledge in the whole universe dwells in you. Right? In Christ Jesus. That is just such an incredible thing to me. So Lord, when I ask for wisdom or knowledge, what I need to start doing is saying, Jesus, thank you that you're all the wisdom and knowledge in the universe that I need. You live within me. Now what I'm going to ask, Lord, is that now you release that. Isn't that incredible? Maybe I just thought it was incredible. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with persuasive argument. For even though I'm absent in the body, nevertheless I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ Jesus. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him now. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in or by faith, just as you were instructed with gratitude. Okay? Now, here we go. As you therefore have received Christ the Lord, now walk in Him. Having been firmly rooted and built up. Okay? And this is what I see in a lot of believers, myself, I'm not including, I'm not saying that most believers. But here's where what happens is that most believers aren't really firmly rooted and grounded in these principles. Okay? firmly rooted and grounded. And then from that being built up, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord as your Savior, now walk in Him. Walk in His power now. Nevertheless, I live, but Christ now lives within me. So the Christian life is, that's where we begin. Okay, how did I receive Him as my Lord and Savior? By faith, right? For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself. So therefore, when I'm living life every day, how do I walk in Him? By faith, the same exact way. The same way I received Him as Lord and Savior is the same way I now walk in Him. By faith. Right? Thank you, Jesus, that for every situation, You're full of all wisdom and knowledge in the universe. You're full of all power. All things are in subjection under Your feet. You have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So now, I can walk. Totally adequate for any and every situation. Simply by faith. Okay? Now, I have to be firmly rooted and grounded in that. Because if I'm not, then I'm going to go live in the power of the flesh. And I'm going to be totally frustrated, right? Having been built, firmly rooted, being built up, established, just as you're instructed, overflowing with gratitude, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. It's the biggest deception here of our age, one of, goes all the way back to the garden. You know, let me read you a verse out of Scripture. I'm afraid, lest as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your mind should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. But I'm afraid, lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your mind should be led astray from simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. So what was the temptation that the enemy offered Eve? Has God not said that you should eat from this tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Because He knows that when you do, your eyes will be open. And you'll be able to discern good from evil. So you have it within you to discern good and evil. All you got to do is eat that fruit. See? In other words, all you have to have is knowledge. And if you have knowledge, you have the ability to know good and evil. To discern it. That's the deception we have today. What we need is just knowledge. We just need to get a bunch of knowledge. Knowledge it up. Read a bunch of books. You know? Go to seminary. And then we'll have the ability to discern good and evil. It doesn't say in knowledge or in books or hidden all the wisdom and knowledge in the universe. It's in Christ.
Amen.
In Christ. So you mean I need to spend my time getting to know Christ? Yeah. Why don't we do that? You know, I'm going to tap into that, brother. You know, you can read Matthew Henry till the cows come home. You know, commentaries. Like someone said, it's amazing how much light Scripture shows on commentaries sometimes, you know. But just think about that. The church didn't have this. I mean, this was 400 years before this was even put together. So when Paul would go in there, he would get them firmly rooted and grounded in Christ. He said, I'll remain with you in Galatians till Christ is formed in you. I'm going to teach you how to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to teach you how to daily, moment by moment, tap in to the resources, all that you have, all that He is, all that Christ has is yours. All that He is yours. That's what we get to know, right? Listen to this. Okay, so that has to do with through philosophy and empty deception. Okay, don't get taken away. Nothing wrong with reading a book, right? Just say, Craig came away telling us we can't read books anymore and we can't watch Harry Potter movies and stuff. I haven't said any of that. I'm just saying, right? Be careful, because Paul said, I'm worried about you because I don't want you to be led away from simplicity right? I like simplicity. It has to be simple to me. Let's make it simple. I mean, let's just get it down in a nutshell, make it real simple for us, okay? But we have to be careful with that. Simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. Just be devoted to Christ, you know? For in Him, verse 9, in Him the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. The fullness of deity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? And in Him, you have been made complete. And He is the head over all rule and authority. In Christ, I have already been made complete. I had a guy come to me one time, and it was one of those deals. You know, not every deal is this way. You know, Rich deals with a lot of people who deal with some, you know, real mental illness problems. When this guy said it, I knew he was fine, you know. And someone told him he had some, he didn't really manifest, so someone said he had it, you know. He was so depressed. He said, I think it was bipolar or something like that. Is it okay, Rich? I'm going to go with this story. He said, I'm bipolar. And just this thing jumped out of me. He said, no, you're not. Yes, I am. So-and-so told me. I said, no, you're not. And I read him that scripture. In Him you've been made complete. And it was like, ding, a light went on in his head and he started laughing. You know, and God just totally set him free right there. Right? Just about him finding out who he is in Christ. You mean I'm complete in Christ? Yeah. Complete means complete. You lack nothing. You have everything that you need. You got the whole package, brother. You got the whole deal. Whoa, really? You know? Like, where have you been? You're a pastor, you know? Because he's never been rooted and grounded in those things. And that, which is ABCs, right? He hadn't been rooted and grounded in this stuff. So he had spent his life eating out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can tell it. It's a cool verse. In Him you've been made complete. So when I'm struggling with stuff or anxiety, or I always quote that verse, Lord, I thank you that in you I'm complete. You know? And in Him you were circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, and the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Here we go again. Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of the flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us and canceling out all debts. So, you know, in Christ, you mean He removed this flesh and buried it? And that raised me up with Him to walk in newness of life? Yep, He sure did. So therefore, I don't have to submit to the power of that thing anymore. You got it, man. You've been in a jail cell your whole life and the door's open. See what I'm saying? When truth comes by revelation, and if sometimes it is that simple of a thing clicking in our spirit that sets us free. Just by knowing I'm free. All right? I could live as a slave all my life thinking that I still belong to this guy. Then all of a sudden I get news that there's an end to slavery. You're not a slave anymore. You're a free man. And just by that knowledge, it's going to change my life. Right? I don't have to fear anymore. I'm not under that. Same way. The truth comes to you as I'm rooted and grounded. And, you know, we talk a lot about that. Is, Lord, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of you. Open the eyes of my heart so I may know the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, of your inheritance in the saints, and the surpassing greatness of power toward me that believe. Right? That's what Paul prayed in the book of Ephesians. So I think that's a great prayer. I pray that prayer every day for myself. Amen? All right. Turn to Romans 8, and we will finish up with this. We're kind of given, like in school, you're given a whole semester's course in 30 minutes. We're kind of covering the whole semester.
Can I ask
Absolutely. 2 Corinthians 11. About the one about Eve. Yeah. The things of the Spirit. The mind set on the flesh or intent on the flesh is death. But the mind set on the Spirit or intent on the Spirit is life and peace. Cool. Always a better choice, wouldn't you say? Death, life and peace. I'm going to go for life and peace. Right? And that means my experience is death. It doesn't mean a physical death. It means my experience is death. And we find that to be true, right? Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not able to do so. See, the flesh cannot subject itself to the law of God. So we can try and try and try, and it just doesn't seem to work, right? Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, dwells in you, which it does, so that means I'm in the Spirit. That's who I really am. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. And if Christ is in you, which he is, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, which he does, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who indwells you. Wow. I mean, my life comes from the Spirit, through the Spirit? Yeah. The same resurrection life that Jesus has lives in you. And we learn a lot about Jesus dying for our sins, but what we need to learn about is him being raised from the dead. So I can walk in the resurrection life and the newness of life. That's what I need to hear about, right? So, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you're living according to the flesh, you must die or you're about to die. But if by the Holy Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You have not received the spirit of slavery, leaving to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption by which we can cry out, Abba, Father. Amen. I have to stop there. But a good bunch of stuff, you know. I'll be sending your course outline and the books you're supposed to have for this next semester. Here's what we're going to do for this course. We are going to hang out with Jesus. We're going to ask God to give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. We're going to sit at His feet. We're going to hear His words. And we're going to ask Him to release and give us a revelation of who He is and all that we have in Him and who He is in us. And Lord, teach me how to walk by the power of the Spirit. You know what? We'll get a good grade for this class. Amen. All righty. Now let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord. One thing about being a good sacramental church is that you know how to start services, you know, and you know how to end services, and you can get people's attention. The Lord be with you. And also, see, I got your attention. See, that's how you do it, right? You might want to incorporate that in the Baptist church over there. Yeah. Stand up. The Lord be with you. That's what is he saying?